Good morning, everybody, or good day, depending on when you're listening to this episode. Welcome back to Crime Ghoul, a true crime podcast where I'm your host, Brittany. And as always, I'm here to bring you all things true crime. Sorry if my voice seems a little off. Some of you know I'm recovering from COVID right now, and it kind of kicked my butt a little bit. So if I sound a little strange, please bear with me. I'm okay. I'm just recovering. I hope my voice isn't too sore on the ears, but thank you for tuning in. This is a really special bonus episode. Thank you to one of my listeners, Jess, for suggesting this case. I'm so happy she did. I got to spend time learning about this really handsome 18-year-old guy named Caleb Deal. So his story is super important. It seems like he didn't get a lot of media coverage and he's still missing today. So it's really important that you guys tuned in with me today. Definitely share this episode if you think it's worth sharing. You know, if you share it, please tag me, whether it's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever. Definitely tag me in it so we could get the word out there for Caleb, because his story is not for the faint of heart, number one. Number two, it did not receive much coverage. Like, everyone I'm talking to that's in the true crime community, a good majority of them have never heard of him. So it's really great that I get the opportunity to share his story with you guys today. So without further ado, welcome to the bonus episode. Go brew yourself a cup of coffee, pour yourself a glass of wine, or perhaps take a shot of whiskey. Because as always, these stories are not for the faint of heart. And thank you so much for listening. So like I said in the intro, I recently received a case suggestion from a listener, and I'm so glad she suggested it because I have never heard of his story. In 2015, 18-year-old Caleb Deal disappeared. Just 2 weeks after his 18th birthday, he vanished. No one ever saw him again. This is his story. Caleb Deal had just turned 18. He was handsome, blonde, and had the most lovely smile ever. Family described him as adventurous and fearless. Caleb was the youngest of four, and he had three sisters and one brother. He lived in Grapevine, Texas with one of his sisters, but he was visiting his parents in Nocona, Texas, where he had grown up. There, not only did he have his family, but he had his two best friends and a part-time job. So when he would visit his family, he would work for his employer, Ricky Howard, who was a local of that area. And at the same time, he'd get to see his two best friends, who were Ricky's sons. Ricky and the Howard family were great friends with the Deal family, and they often went on vacations together and hung out. Caleb and the other kids would work around Ricky's ranch, and they would get paid for helping him. Caleb had a lot going for him, but he had a bit of senioritis. He missed some days of school and was more concentrated on dirt bike riding and getting a new job. And he actually had a job interview he was looking forward to. It was scheduled for Tuesday, March 31st. On Monday, March 30th, 2015, Caleb told his mom, Tammy, and his sister, Courtney, that he was going to visit a friend, and he left his parents' home around 5 p.m. Caleb's car was in the shop, so in the meantime, Ricky was nice enough to let him borrow one of his cars, a Chevy pickup truck. So Caleb drove away, and that was the last time that his family would ever see him again. Tammy waited up for Caleb that night, but he never came home. She was calling him, and his phone was going straight to voicemail. The family also found that the friend Caleb was supposedly going to meet was out of town. So he lied. He was never going to meet that friend. Police questioned the friend, and he told authorities that they never had plans to meet up or hang out at all. So where did Caleb really go? Panic would set in even more when he didn't return to school on Tuesday. On Wednesday, April 1st, 2015, that's when Tammy went to the police. Later that day, Tammy received a call from Ricky Howard. He told her that the pickup truck that Caleb had borrowed showed up back at his shop. It was in the garage. So when Tammy relayed this message to investigators, their ears immediately perked up and the red flags had raised. Something definitely did not seem right. So police found something unusual about the truck. Not only was it found in Ricky's locked car garage, but there were three $100 bills zip-tied to the steering wheel. The key to the shop was in the seat of the pickup truck, and the shop was locked. And the only other person with the key to that lock was Ricky. So obviously, this was full-blown suspicious. So of course, one can think maybe Caleb left one key in the car and had another key and locked up the shop. But no, this doesn't make sense, because Caleb did have his own key for the shop, but Tammy would end up finding it at their home in Caleb's room. So this was not a good sign, not at all. So police wanted to search Ricky's property, and he gave them full permission. And they found a bunch of guns, which, as a past convicted felon, that's right, he was a past convicted felon, and I'll get to that in a second, it was illegal for him to possess such weapons. So police charged Ricky with illegal possession of firearms. As police continue to search this businessman's property, they find it strange that he had no computers that were up and functioning. So if you're a businessman, obviously you need computers, right? Like, to do your business. I mean, some people are old school, but it was odd. But what they found on Ricky's property was even more strange. He had computers, but they were all destroyed. It looked like they were torched. Ricky torched some of his computers on fire, so of course, yet again, sus. This is suspicious. So, police were able to track Caleb's phone and the signal last pinged at Ricky Howard's shop. So they confronted Ricky about this, and he said, "Yeah, you know, that's strange. I found a smashed cell phone on my property and I threw it out." So when investigators went to check the garbage, it turned out that the garbage was already picked up. Police immediately asked for Ricky's phone, and he handed it over. They came to find that Ricky had destroyed his SIM card. He cut it up into a bunch of small pieces using a scissor. Of course, investigators notified the Deals, and Tammy knew that somehow this nice, kind, and friendly person that they love so much had somehow been involved in her son's disappearance. So police could only do so much at that point. They had no proof of foul play. Yes, the circumstances surrounding Ricky's phone and pickup truck were clearly not a good sign, but they did everything they could to investigate him, and they could not pin anything on him. So police asked Ricky why Caleb met him at the shop that day he went missing, and Ricky explained to police that Caleb told him he was going to meet a girl in Oklahoma that he had met online. And police found that Caleb had never mentioned a girl in Oklahoma to his family or his friends, so police really didn't believe Ricky, and neither did Caleb's family. Police told the Deal family, and they knew that it didn't make sense. He would never just leave and not tell anyone. So his mom and dad's name is Chad, by the way, they knew something was seriously off. Chad began to feel sincerely alarmed, of course, so FBI and police full-heartedly believed Ricky was involved. So Chad needed to speak to Ricky because he was going to go with what authorities were telling him. So he needed to confront his best friend. And Chad made it clear to his own family that he loved the Howard family, but it was time for him to confront Ricky. Chad arrived to Ricky's home, and he went right inside and confronted him head on. He took a chair, put it up to the table, and said, "Well, Ricky, I want you to know something, and I want you to hear it through me and not through the grapevine." He goes on to say, "I full-heartedly, with every fiber in my body, soul, and mind, feel that you murdered my son." And Ricky's response was flat, no emotion at all, and he simply said, "I'm sorry you believe that." Chad said, "Well, that's what I believe, and now I have to go," and he walked out. He said it was one of the most intense moments ever in his life. Unfortunately, the Deal family sat and waited for Caleb to come home. They were tortured by the fact that Caleb so easily walked out of the house and just never seemed to walk back in. Where could he be? And could their trusted friend really be involved? So, who was Ricky Howard? Who was he really? Well, he was the president of a national bank, but in 2007, he went to prison for 2 years for charges of bank fraud. Despite this, he was still successful. He worked in farming, the oil industry, and he owned several properties. Jeez, what is it with weirdos working in the oil industry? Are they part of some weird oil club? I mean, you got Chris Watts, Thomas Sharkey, and now Ricky Howard, all involved with the oil industry. Like, shit's weird. I don't know. Just had to throw that in there. Anyway, Ricky was a well-known businessman in the area. He was very popular with neighbors and all that jazz. So the thoughts and haunted ideas of what happened to Caleb Deal surrounded his family. And then in 2017, something happened. Tammy Deal was cleaning her house and made a bizarre discovery. She moved on to cleaning this tiny tucked away cabinet and she found a plastic bag. She opened the bag and found white paper with black ink scribbled into notes. It was notes about polygraph questions. The notes were written in Ricky Howard's handwriting. A tape recorder was found and it was audio of Ricky asking polygraph questions. And finally, she found a clock radio with a hidden video camera attached to it. It seemed like Caleb was collecting some type of evidence, but what was it? What was he trying to collect? Tammy had to think. She and her husband knew that Ricky had gone to prison for bank fraud. He has admitted to it in the past, and he was ashamed of it. But there was something missing. There was a piece of the puzzle that the Deal family did not quite have yet. Tammy handed this over to the police, and they finally made a connection that went back decades ago. Two boys made allegations of Ricky Howard sexually molesting them in 2001. So what the hell? How was this not spotted when police were investigating him in 2015? I don't get it. So the FBI got involved and discovered this connection with the help of the Nakoma Police Department. The FBI interviewed five males who came forward about Ricky. These men told agents that while they worked for Ricky at his ranch when they were younger, he sexually molested them. All but two males were under the age of 18 at the time. One male said that he was molested an estimated of 500 times over a four-year period. So back in 2001, the judge only charged Ricky with the bank fraud. He did not charge him for the sexual molestation allegations. He sent Ricky to sex offender treatment and frequent polygraph testing. So this is why the information went unnoticed. He wasn't charged for a crime. He was court ordered to attend treatment. We now know why he was practicing polygraph questions. The sex offender treatment notes made it clear that there was a possibility that Ricky Howard obtained child pornography. So investigators began to dive even deeper into Ricky Howard. You know, you fast forward back to when Caleb's missing and the police collect several of Howard's computers, the torched ones and whatever else they could get their hands on, and they found dozens of photographs depicting child pornography. Among these photos were images of young Caleb Deal. What a monster. Like, just, oh, it fucking skeeves me out. Anyway, the Deal family knew that somehow Ricky was involved in their son's disappearance, but never did they believe it would be to this extent. They were in shock and almost in denial until they identified their son in the images. So the charges against Ricky Howard have been drawn out, and just in 2021, he pled guilty to sexual exploitation of a minor for possessing the images that he had. Ricky was sentenced to 30 years in prison. To this day, Caleb Deal is still missing. We don't know where he is, and the Deal family is only left to wonder what could have happened to their beloved Caleb. The family is left to ruminate over what Ricky Howard may have done to him, and they look back at photographs of their joint trips and wonder how things could have been so different from what they originally thought them to have been. Was Ricky abusing Caleb on these trips? What was really going on? And this leads back to that reoccurring theme in my episodes, in my videos. You just never truly know a person. Only a few people truly knew Ricky for what he was, and unfortunately, they were his victims. I wonder what his wife and children thought when this all went down. Well, him and his wife have since divorced. Then I have to wonder, did he sexually abuse his kids? There are just so many unanswered questions, and I've looked online, and you can't really find much at all. So I went through Tammy Deal's Facebook, and it's just really sad. All these years later, and she and the rest of her family do not have the location for Caleb. They're almost stuck in time when it comes to Caleb. They're no further in finding him than they were in the year of 2015. To this day, no formal charges have ever been brought to Ricky Howard for the disappearance of Caleb Deal. It's just nuts. So they did search the area, of course, of Ricky's properties, and they looked all over the place, and there was no sign of Caleb Deal's remains. So God only knows what he did to Caleb. God only knows where Caleb is now, like where his body is. I've heard from a local that there are wild hogs that live in that geographical location. So it could be possible that Ricky killed Caleb and fed his remains to the hogs. And wild hogs are known for eating human remains and consuming bone. So it could be plausible that that's exactly what happened. And then on top of that, you have to wonder, are there more boys who went missing that we just don't know about and they went missing at the hands of Ricky Howard? Could that be possible? I'm sure it could be. So that's where we stand right now with this case. Of course, there's not much more to go off of than what we already have, but you never know. Sometimes cold cases become solved years and years later, and hopefully this is one of them. So please share this episode. Let's get the word out for Caleb Deal and his family. Where is he? Can we bring him home? And can we bring peace to this family? Like, that's what's important here. So if you have any further information about this, please notify the Tacoma Police Department. I will leave their contact information in the show notes down below. But until we get another break on this case, we may never know where Caleb is. And I hate to think that. I'd rather hope that one day we will get answers and this beautiful and wonderful family and this town, this small town of Tacoma, Texas, we'll get answers of where he is or what happened to him. Just some type of closure. So that's it, guys. This is my short bonus episode for the week. I hope you liked it. Let me know what you think. Go check me out on Instagram by searching crimeghoul_. Go to Facebook or Twitter, search crimeghoul, and you'll find me. And yeah, comment about this video. Let me know what you think. Let me know what your thoughts and theories are. And let me know if you've ever heard of the case before. If you don't feel comfortable commenting, you could definitely DM me. I won't share any of that with anybody. Some people like to be a little more private when talking about this stuff, and that's totally okay. But this platform that I have is really meant to talk about these true crime cases. So please feel free to message me. I talk, eat, breathe, and sleep true crime every single day of my life. So yeah, this is just what I'm interested in learning about and educating people on. So yeah. Also, just an update, since I've had COVID, I've had a lot of time on my hands. So yesterday was the first day I felt like myself or felt better. So I was able to shoot a YouTube video. So go check out my channel, Crime Ghoul, on YouTube. I have a couple of old videos on there you could check out. I'm trying to improve, but you know, I'm still new to the whole YouTubing world. It's definitely a creative outlet for me and a way for me to get true crime stories out there. So my most recent video that I uploaded yesterday is about the Chandler Halderson case. So if you are not up to date on that ongoing trial, holy crap, Batman, you need to hear this one. It's insane. Okay. I can't believe I haven't heard about this, but again, in 2021, much of it was filled with Gabby Petito and me really diving deep into that case, as I've already shared with you guys. But it just so happens that this whole case with Chandler Halderson murdering his parents and then dismembering them was unfolding in 2021, and he requested a speedy trial. He has pled not guilty. So here we are in early 2022, with this ongoing trial. So definitely go check out my YouTube channel. Take a look. I also blogged about it. If you don't feel like watching a video, you could go to crimeghoul.com, where I write about cases that I might not necessarily cover on my podcast or my channel. So go take a look over there. There are so many ways to help your girl out for free. You could like and subscribe to my video and channel. You could share my videos or share my podcast episode with a friend. If you do share any of these things on social media, be sure to tag me, whether it's on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. That way I could give you guys a shout out for helping me out. But if you're looking for more generous ways to help me, definitely check out my link tree in my crimeghoul_. There are so many ways you can help me out, and that's where you can find out how. So yeah, you can now rate my podcast on Spotify. So please give me a 5-star rating if you think I deserve it, of course. And on Apple Podcasts, please give me a 5-star rating. It helps me out. But only do so if you think I deserve it. Otherwise, rate accordingly. All right, guys, I love you so much. I'm always open to case suggestions, so please let me know if you have a case you'd like to hear. And until next time, be safe and definitely be careful with who you trust. Signing off, I'll see you next time. Bye.